just say a word or two this morning. Colleen and Lynette are going to come forward. We want to tell our pastor and Mrs. Pastor, because my mother was a Mrs. Pastor, and she was every bit as much a pastor as my dad was.
Amen.
We want to tell you how much you are
Peter reminded the believers that God had revealed that he was not a respecter of persons. He was not going to pour extra blessing on this person and not on that person, but all were invited to receive salvation and the gift of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And Peter's testimony prepared the gathered assembly to listen to Paul again. Which then brings us to verse 12. So after Peter has spoken, in verse 12, it says, "Then all the multitude kept silent." So Peter's, sometimes a big group of people getting everybody to be quiet is quite an accomplishment. So Peter got everybody to be quiet and listen. And then it says they listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. So Peter shares his experience, and then Paul and Barnabas get up and they recount story after story after story, showing how God has worked among the Gentiles. That God is leading, that God's Spirit is at work among the Gentiles, drawing them. And then we get down to the next speakers here, Peter and then Paul and Barnabas, and then up stands James. Verse 13. It says there, "And after they had become silent, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the word of the prophet agree, just as it is written, after this I will return, and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set it up, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things." James comes along and gives the Bible study. He says, "Hey, the things that these men are saying, we know this is true from the Scripture. The Bible tells us that the gospel is meant to go to the Gentiles, that God is calling the rest of mankind, all the Gentiles." And he continues, "Notice that God from eternity on all his works. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled and from blood. For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach in every city, the red and the blue ones, every Sabbath." So it's interesting that James is the one who stands up and speaks with authority. There's a popular belief out there that Peter was the first pope. But in this passage, you can clearly see that James is the leader. James is the one who kind of summarizes what has been said and speaks with authority and calls for the group to vote. James says, "We should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God." James understood that Gentiles who were giving their hearts and lives to Jesus were making a big change. Their lives were being transformed and changed in almost every way imaginable. And he recognized that it was not wise to overwhelm these Gentiles with questions of minor importance that might turn them away from Jesus Christ. The ceremonial law, including circumcision, was not to be pushed upon these Gentile believers. There were plenty of big and important things, but they didn't need to push all of the small things on them. The Gentiles were called to give up their practices that conflicted with the principles of the Christian faith. And several specific points are mentioned here. One is that they were not to eat meat offered to idols. They were to abstain from sexual immorality. And they were not to consume strangled flesh or blood. Very, very simple. The Jerusalem Council began with much dispute. We saw that in verse 4. But it ends with the brethren assembled with one accord. In verse 25, it tells us that they agreed with one accord to do this. The Greek of this passage suggests that the decision was actually a unanimous one. That it wasn't just a simple majority, but actually the whole group came together in agreement. They were of one accord that this was the best course. Though, on hearing the evidence, the assembled leaders saw that the Holy Spirit was leading God led him to a conclusion. That is God's ideal for us as Christians.
Amen.
God's plan A for us. Which cycles back to Preston's question about not wanting to come to church. Why go to the hassle of a church? Why deal with a church full of human beings when really we're here to worship God? Like if God's full of your worship, why have other people around? Why deal with it? Wouldn't it be easier just to make our faith a private thing between me and God and not involve other people in that? Why not just cut the church out of the equation? And I can sympathize with that a little bit. I can resonate with that frustration that many people have. But there's one thing that keeps me from agreeing with it. It's the fact that the church is God's idea. There are lots of human organizations out there. You've got the Goodwill. You've got the Boy Scouts. You've got Congress. These are things that human beings have come up with. But the church was set up by God. He organized it. He called it. He has a purpose for it. And he did not put together the church as a last and an afterthought. Jesus didn't just decide, hey, yeah, it might be a good idea to go to the church real quick before I leave. This has been part of God's plan. Did you know that there has been a church that has existed in heaven since before this world was created? The church in heaven. As long as heaven has been filled with beings created by God, they have gathered together to sing and praise and worship the Lord. There has always been a church. In Job chapter 38, verse 7, it describes a time when the morning stars sang in heaven. And the sons of God shouted. It's eternity past, and no beings, heavenly beings, gathered together to sing and praise God. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 1, it says, after these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. That's worship. That's a church worshiping in heaven. There's another quote that's a little bit longer here. But it actually comes from the writing of Naomi Watch, Testimony 6, page 366. And she wrote there, she wrote, the church of God below is one with the church of God above. Our church, meaning right here, the Valley View Seventh-day Adventist Church, is one with the heaven central church. I don't know what they call it, but the church that meets in heaven. We are one.
Amen.
Believers on the earth and the beings in heaven who have never fallen constitute one church, he says. We constitute the same church, this Israel. Wow. Every heavenly intelligence is interested in the assemblies of the saints who on earth need to worship God. Have you ever felt like church? I don't know if you've ever been to a church service and you felt like it was kind of boring, or maybe there's not very many people there, or it's just somehow felt deficient. She writes there that there are beings in heaven that watch with interest, that every intelligent being in heaven is watching our worship. Just like how there are people who are watching our live stream right now, and there are people who will watch the service later, that the beings in heaven watch our service. Our service is being live streamed to heaven. And they watch it with interest and excitement.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. She continues, in the inner court of heaven, they listen to the testimony of the witness for Christ in the outer court on earth. And the praise and thanksgiving from worshipers below is taken up in the heavenly anthem. And praise and rejoicing sounds through the heavenly courts because Christ has not died in vain for the fallen sons of Adam. When we stand up and we share a testimony and a praise, in our current praise time, the beings in heaven are saying amen. That is being repeated and shared there. When we sing together, the angels in heaven sing with us. When we open God's word and we hear something go amen, they're saying amen too. We are part of a much bigger church than we realize. And I'm just going to skip ahead to the end of this section. She writes, let all bear in mind that in every assembly of the saints below, don't just need God. We also need each other. There was a gentleman by the name of Gregory Elder, who as a child loved to build sandcastles. From the Atlantic coast, and he would build beautiful sandcastles out on the beach. And then one summer, a bunch of bullies showed up. They would come out and they would start taking down all the sandcastles, breaking them all down. This went on 1 day, 2 days, several days. They kept coming out, picking on him, and destroying the sandcastles. So one day, Gregory gathered some cinder blocks, some bricks, a piece of concrete, and he built his sandcastles on top of these items. The local tough guy showed up. He quietly got up. He left. And the bare feet of those bullies finally met their match. Brothers and sisters, Satan is like a sandcastle kicking bully. He sees the church of God. He sees the sandcastle. Yes, I can knock this down. And so he comes at the church, intending to smash it and destroy it. But this little sandcastle, God's church, is built on a rock.
Yeah.
And the gates of hell will not
be
able. I'd like to be able to close
it's
with
important.
A word together. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us the church. It's not perfect. We're not perfect. We recognize that. But there are all sorts of problems. We can stop and look at the problems and focus on them. And sometimes we're a part of the problem ourselves. But Father, you see us. And you love us. You gave us this church for a purpose. And weak and frail and broken and imperfect as it may be, it is the conduit, the pipes for your blessings to be poured out in this world. And you love and care about this church. So, Father, we lift it up before you, recognizing that there's a lot of problems. There are problems that are too big for us. There are things that we do not and cannot fix ourselves. So we place the church in your hands and ask that you will please bless this church here in Bellevue. Please fill us with your Holy Spirit. You know our weaknesses, our deficiencies, our sins, our struggles. We surrender those things to you. Ask that you will empower and pray the church. Please give us your Holy Spirit so that we can have a light that shines brightly. I pray for each person here today. I know it can sometimes a struggle to come to church. It may seem like a lot of effort, and maybe we don't always feel as blessed as we would like to be. But I thank you for everyone who has come here today, and the saints who come to worship, because we bless one another. And I just pray that you will please give us encouragement and hope and strength to continue to take advantage of the privilege of gathering together to worship. Thank you so much for hearing our prayer. I pray that you will give us joy in our hearts. Please help us to share Jesus with the people that we meet. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.
Amen.
Mics and then all of the bus powers.